All right, our lesson for tonight, for March the 6th, is going to be entitled Amazing Unending Love. Amazing Unending Love. I'm pretty sure that most of us, if not all of us, go through life taking things for granted, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, unless by doing so we begin to lack the thankful appreciation that we should have for some of those things. For instance, I think it's pretty easy to take for granted that we'll wake up tomorrow morning, that we'll have food to eat, that our car will start, and on a yearly basis that winter leads to spring, leads to summer, leads to fall. Except in Michigan, those might be tangled up a little bit on a regular basis. But anyway, that's the order that God has put things in. I could list probably many more examples, and I'm sure you could too. But I assume you get the point that when we take so many things for granted, even our very breath and the heartbeat that we have, we often forget that those things are not, that we all deserve to have everything we want and everything is supposed to work according to our purposes. But we forget who is behind that. Who is the one who keeps our heart beating? Who is the one who works all things out, including the rotation of the earth around the sun, all the seasons that happen every year? Who's in control? It's God, of course, and we owe everything, including the very regulation of the universe itself, to him. So we need to keep that perspective in mind. Who's in control and what is his attitude towards us? So, however, while we certainly shouldn't take for granted God's daily care for his people through all these daily things we do, his control over the seasons, the rise and fall of empires and nations, there's one thing we should not only never take for granted, but should stand in awe and be forever grateful for his amazing, unending love for his elect. Familiar verse from a familiar hymn. Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Let's look at two aspects of that love. First of all, the foundation of God's love. And that's, we'll take it from Ephesians chapter 1. Turn to Ephesians 1, and we'll look at verses 3 through 5. Should be a familiar passage, powerful text by the Apostle Paul, speaking of the sovereign love of God. And this shows his foundation of his love. Ephesians 1, beginning of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. As humans, we tend to think in terms of falling in love with someone or something. In other words, it usually takes us a little time to get acquainted with someone, truly know them, before we honestly can say that we love them. For instance, we don't realistically say that we fell in love with our wife or husband before we even knew they existed. Okay, we had to know them. We had to get acquainted with them. We had to determine that they were the one for us. So it took time, right? It wasn't an instant thing. We don't love a particular food before we've tasted it. We don't love a book or a movie before we've read it or watched the movie. Okay, it takes time for something like that. For when we do truly fall in love, our love for something or someone is unfortunately subject to change due to the fickle desires that we have as human beings and the weakness of our flesh. Now, there may be some exceptions to that, of course. For instance, especially those of us who just had a granddaughter or grandchild born or baby born even, when a couple is expecting a baby, they may very well be honestly, deeply in love with that baby before it's actually born. They haven't seen it yet, don't know what it looks like, don't know, you know, its size or anything like that, but they may genuinely be in love with that baby, even though it hasn't come into the world yet. So that's a possible exception. In this, though, in that picture right there of loving a baby that hasn't been born yet, there's a picture of God's love for his people, his elect, the bride of Christ, before the world began, before we came into existence. And as the Apostle Paul portrays here in this text in Ephesians 1, God's love for us was not something he developed over time, was not based upon who we would become or what we would do, but was based upon his infinite wisdom his bountiful compassion, his limitless mercy and grace, and his everlasting love. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? It's an amazing love. It's an unending love. It's an unusual love, and that God knew everything about us. He ordained us to be born. He gave us the features that we have. Now, you don't look the way you do because of some cosmic accident. God designed you perfectly in the womb before you were born. And he knew everything about you. And yet, he still loved you with an everlasting love. So think about that, beloved. It's something we kind of talk about, and I'm sure it has been preached about many times. But write this upon your mind and store it in your heart of hearts. Before any of your ancestors, descendants of Adam, were born, before one molecule of the universe and this world existed, when God in his omniscience knew every detail of your life to come, your every sin, your every mistake, he wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life, if you're in Christ right now. Think about that. Before anything, he determined not only the plan of redemption, but he chose who would be redeemed. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever, never to be erased, never to be changed, which is a manifestation of his eternal, amazing, everlasting love. And he predetermined to send his Son into this rebellious world to die upon a cross for me and for you. Isn't that stunning? I mean, we probably know it and we've heard it many times, but sometimes we need to stop and think about that. Doesn't it seem impossible? And yet it's absolutely true if you are a true believer in Christ today. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. There's so many hymns that bring that to mind, the love of God. And it should resonate in our hearts. We shouldn't think lightly of it, but we should rather step back and say, how? Why? Spurgeon put it this way. He said, let our souls pause and wonder at God's purposes from of old. Not only when you were born into the world did Christ love you, but his delights were with the sons of men before there were any sons of men. He often thought of them. From everlasting to everlasting, he had set his affections upon them. And you and I were one of those whom he set his affections upon. There'll be no empty seats in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Nor will there be any unwanted or surprised guests at the table who were not predestined to be there. God ordained it before the world began. His love was set upon us in spite of anything about us that was negative. He chose us. He loved us. He gave his Son to die for us. It's an eternal love. It's an everlasting love. Let me read you a couple of selections here from a devotion that Alistair Begg wrote on this subject from Ephesians chapter 1. He begins by saying, God has loved you for a long, long time. That's a fact. You may be tempted to believe we need to search for God through human effort. Indeed, many worldly religions teach us that. But from the very beginning, the Bible teaches us it is actually God who reaches out to us. The doctrine of election is not a banner under which we march, but a bastion for our souls. It makes all the difference to our security and joy. And here's what I want to emphasize. Once you humbly recognize that your identity in Christ was established the moment he first set his affection upon you, even before the dawn of time, you find freedom and you have confidence. You don't need to seek to come up with some reason in yourself to understand why you have received his amazing grace. You can simply enjoy knowing that he chose you because he loves you, even though he knows you. You don't need to live burdened by your sin or crushed because you feel you're making little progress in your Christian life. For his love was never based upon your performance or upon your promise of doing better. You can walk through the peaks and valleys of this life with the assurance that you are loved by the one who made all things and directs all things, and that is because you never had to win his love, and you can never lose it. You never had to win it. You never had to do anything to gain it. And once you have it, you cannot lose it. So that's the foundation of God's love. Let's look at the assurance of God's love. And with that, would you turn with me over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8:31. We've kind of already alluded to this, but I think it helps to have this truth confirmed in our minds and hearts. Not only did God love us with an everlasting love, but that love cannot be taken away from us. Chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, probably a familiar passage with most of us. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not only did he choose us before the foundation of the world and sent his son to die for us, he loved us with an everlasting love, but no one can sever us from that love. No one can separate us from him. There's nothing that can stop God's love from continuing to be manifested to us. That classic passage here in the book of Romans makes it really abundantly clear that God's love for his people is not only based upon his eternal purposes, it's not a temporary or a transitory thing, nor does it waver at any time, no matter what is going on in our life. And let's be honest, there are days when we're struggling with trials and troubles, with heartaches and losses, and we begin to kind of wonder or question God's love for us. Yet our doubts cannot change God's mind, nor our difficulties are our difficulties a clear sign that God has abandoned us. Look again to the text here in verses 38 and 39. Let me read them again. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Any exceptions there? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the eternal love of God towards us in Christ. God's love is not fickle. It does not change over the years. And this is important. Remember, everything about God is a constant, unchanging, and everlasting, including his love, because he is perfect. He is perfect in who he is and what he does, and therefore he never needs to change or withhold one iota of his love that he determined to set upon us in eternity past. Nothing will change his position because he is perfect and also has the power to maintain that position and the wisdom and the knowledge to control all things. So nothing will change it, not one iota, not one speck of anything else can change his love, can change who he is, because he is God and he is perfect in everything he has done. Does he chasten us when we go astray? Yes, he does, but it's because he loves us. Does he occasionally deny us the fulfillment of our plans? Yes, because he knows the ultimate consequences of every plan and decision that we make, and because he loves us, he will thwart some of those plans to lead us and deliver us from harm. Love, his eternal love, never fails. There's an echo of 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Listen to these words from Spurgeon on our secure eternal relationship with Christ via the Father's love for us. What a joy above all joys to know that I am his everlasting and inalienable inheritance, given to him, speaking of Christ, given to him by his Father before the earth was formed. Everlasting love, this is a kind of a unique sign, this is Spurgeon, think about it. Everlasting love shall be the pillow upon which I rest my head tonight. In closing, let me read you these words regarding God's unchanging love from the first line of our hymnal, hymn number 410, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. It says this, If thou but trust in God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength, whatever betide thee, and bear thee through the evil days. Who trust in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. If you're trusting in God's unchanging love, you're building upon a rock that cannot move. It cannot be changed. You are secure in the love of Christ. Amen and amen. I hope that's a comfort to you.